Okay, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, Whiskey 2 Tango Tango Tango, and this is K2BAR, the station of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, and this is the TechNet. The TechNet is conducted every Thursday night at 9 p.m. on 146.79, either in Paramus or in Franklin Lakes. We're actually on the Franklin Lakes repeater tonight. And basically, our goal here is to have a different kind of net than the other nets that Barra runs. First of all, like all Barra nets, anyone who's licensed to transmit in a 2-meter band is welcome to participate. Second, we're looking for anyone who has a question about amateur radio, electronics, telecommunications, anything that uses those things. So you can even ask questions of a more sociological nature if you so desire, as long as they relate back to the purpose and the technology that we all have an interest in. So, with that in mind, we're going to start the net. Check-ins are a little different as well. You check in with your call sign, your name, whether or not you have a question or a comment, or you can say, no question, no comment. We hope that you will participate, whether or not you have a question or a comment, because it helps us gauge who we're reaching out to and what subjects we might want to bring up for the betterment of everybody. So even if you don't have a question or a comment, please feel free to chime in and jump in. All right, so let's begin in an orderly way, or as orderly as we ever can manage. Call sign, stations whose call signs begin with the call sign Alpha, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment. Okay, nothing heard. So let's try something a little more interesting. Kilo calls. Why don't you go first tonight? Any station whose call sign begins with Kilo, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment.
K2AMI. Name is Tony. No questions, no comments, but Barra information later.
That would be like a comment, Tony. Good. Welcome aboard. K2AMI. Good to hear you. Alrighty, any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, KC2, OCC.
KF2ID, Ben.
Okay, so Joe and Ben, in that order, do you have questions or comments for the net?
Yes, I do have some questions regarding a network, a wireless network for computers.
Most excellent. We have a question. Yay. Good to hear that. And Ben?
Yeah, I got a couple of questions. One is informational, the other is technical, regarding handling email photos.
Alrighty. That works for me. That's very good. That's very good. Alright. Let's see, what else do I want to mention here? Just sure I address the TechNet roster. I hope everybody can hear me okay. Real quick, Ben, are you hearing me okay?
You're fine.
Okay, I'm a little far from the microphone, that's why I'm asking, but that's fine. Alrighty, if you're fine, I'm fine. Alrighty, so the next... person would be another Kilo call. Any other Kilo calls, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR. This is K2ZO, Jim. Just with a comment.
Okay, Jim, good evening to you. I hope you have that receiver identified. That was my hope and prayer after last night. That's great. I'm glad you're here. Any other Kilo calls? Kilo 2, Zulu, Charlie, Dave, no questions. Even to you, David. K2, Zulu, Charlie, very good. Welcome aboard. Any other kilos?
KA2, BDU. Helmut, no question at this time.
Very good, Helmut. Any other kilos?
KO2, okay. It's Bennett, and no questions at this time.
Okay, Bennett, very good. Nice hearing you as well. I'm just trying to think, let's see. Yeah, I guess we probably have a few more check-ins from the Kilo crowd. So let's see. Who's next? K2BAR on the kilos. Guess we finally went through all the kilos. All righty. Anybody with a whiskey call, please call K2BAR.
WG2Y.
Good evening, Bruce, and do you have a question or a comment for the net?
Not really. I'll just, I do have a comment. I'd just like to thank you for taking the net last night, Gordon.
No problem. More than happy to do it. And it's a little different than this one, but that's okay. We like it, and thank you very much. It was my pleasure. And God knows, Noel has spelled me more than is almost reasonable at times. Alrighty. Let's see. I understand he's on the mend, but boy, he's got a ways to go. So, any other whiskey calls, please call K2BAR with your call sign, name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above.
W2JEK, Don. I might have a comment later. Depends how things go. Over.
A contingent question or comment from Mr. Don. Okay, Don. I'm willing to lay odds that you'll probably make that comment or question. I'm not a gambling guy. Alrighty, no problem. Anybody else with a whiskey call, please call K2BAR. Okay, November calls, please call K2BAR. Would you call sign your name and whether or not you have a question or comment for the net? Okay, any other call signs? Anybody who has not checked in would like to check in at this time, please call K2BAR.
This is W1ASB.
Okay, again, W1.
W1ASB, Whiskey 1 Alpha, Sierra Bravo.
Good evening, sir, and your name, and in your case, your QTH, if you don't mind. I don't think we've met before. And let you know whether you have a question or a comment for the net. Please call K2BAR.
Roger. My name is Adam, and QTH is Stamford, Connecticut. W1ASB, over.
Okay, that's Whiskey 1 Alpha Sierra Bravo, correct?
Yes, QSO.
Welcome aboard, Adam. You're more than welcome to be here. Do you have a question or a comment for the net?
Yeah, I was listening for like 2 last minutes, so I'm not really familiar. Which repeater it is, over?
Okay, this repeater is located in Franklin Lakes, New Jersey. It's in northern New Jersey. And we basically take questions and comments and of a generally technical nature, but amateur radio being technical, you know, almost anything goes. So we'll come back to you, all right?
Roger, thank you.
Alrighty, don't be a stranger, it's awesome. Alrighty, any other check-ins for the net, please call K2BAR.
NS2K.
NS2K, good evening, Jim, and perhaps you have a question or comment for the net?
Not yet. We'll have to work on it.
Yeah, okay. Very good. All right. Anybody else? Well, I'd like to jump right into Joe's question then. Joseph, KC2OCC, I'm sorry, from K2BAR. Your question, sir.
K2BAR, KC2OCC here. And my question has to do
with a wireless network that I have in the house here. I have several computers, and the main computer is attached to a cable modem for the local cable service, and I've installed a D-Link wireless modem, and that works on the through the other computers that I have on the second floor and up in the third floor in my attic. And my question is, on the computers up in the attic, I'm showing a unsecured link. When the system does a search and shows the various wireless networks in the area, it's showing my neighbors and others, which are all secured, and mine is showing as unsecured. So I'm trying to figure out, is there a way of getting back into the program to manually to secure, put an encryption into that, or do I have to reload everything with the CD that came with the unit and start all over again from scratch? K2BAR, KC2OCC.
Okay, this is not particularly difficult. So my one question is, the new D-Link, which is upstairs, is one network, and downstairs, is it also wireless attached to the modem router that you have from your cable company?
Yes, the main computer is downstairs, and that's running Windows Vista, and the other two computers are running Windows XP on the second floor and third floor.
Okay, so you created a secure network downstairs with your cable modem provided by your cable modem router wireless access point downstairs, and then how did you attach the D-Link to the existing machine, the existing router downstairs? And the other thing you should know is that you really need to set it up so that the upstairs one has a different identity. You have to give it a different network name. And yeah, you have to administer it, but it's not very difficult.
Okay, well, that's what I kind of figured could be a problem. The one D-Link, which is downstairs on the main computer on the first floor, and that was installed with the a CD-ROM that came with it, and is just between the cable modem and the main computer. And the computer up on the second floor and the third floor, I purchased, I believe they were some plug-in cards with the antennas out the back for those systems. So I believe I'm running a Linsky card, I think, on the this computer in the attic over.
For a Linksys, this is the case, maybe. All right. Let's do this. Let's say you give your upstairs network a different name. Let's call it, what do you call it? Network 2. So you would give it an SSID of Network 2. You would tell it not to broadcast your SSID. You would, and you go right into the admin port of the D-Link. And then you would, let's see, you would then take the router and also tell it to implement WPA type security. You would give it a magic word of some sort. You then would save all those parameters in the router. Then you would go to your individual computers upstairs and tell it to look for network A or network B, whatever I called it, I can't remember now. And then you would also give it the same magic word after also telling it that it's using WPA.
or WPA TKIP, TKIP, depending on how it's labeled, but that's what you want to do. You want to make sure everybody's using the same security algorithm. That's better than WEP. WPA is much better than WEP. And I would go from there. One question comes to mind before you do anything. Right now, if you're upstairs and do you know if you're getting into the upstairs access point, and are you able to get on the internet from upstairs into the new, you know, through the new access point?
K2BAR, KC2OCC here. This is the strange thing, is that sometimes I can get online by using Internet Explorer and clicking on that. Occasionally that does connect to the system, and at other times it does not, and showing that the wireless connections are not connected. So it's kind of a sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't.
How are you wiring? How'd you connect the new D-Link to the existing cable modem router?
That was with some software that came with the unit, and through the cables in the back of the unit and into a USB type connection onto the computer.
I think we're talking past each other. How are you connecting the new D-Link router to your existing modem?
Okay, well, I see I'm on MSN.com, I'm on the air, I'm back onto the web. With the wireless plug-in card that's on the computer itself up on the third floor is a wireless system, and that is connected and working with the one downstairs, and exactly how is a good question. I think it was a bit of luck.
Right. Let me ask it differently. How are you? Did you wire the upstairs D-Link to the downstairs cable modem?
No, this is all wireless.
Oh, really? Generally speaking, when I set up a second access point, you have to use a cable between your existing device and the remote device that's, you know, providing the service, and then go from there. Let me ask a question. Is your D-Link sitting next to your cable modem?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's why I'm confused. Okay. All right. So, and so it's hardwired, that router, that D-Link is hardwired to your cable modem.
Yes, it is at the main source. But however, on the wireless network, coming from the second and third computer, my third computer is showing that it's unsecured. So that's where I'm trying to establish the security of the wireless network. Is it in a program on the external third computer in the attic, or is it something that I have to go into the D-Link to set up?
You set it up in the D-Link, and you set it up in that remote computer on the third floor.
Okay, I got it now. That makes sense that way.
I was a little confused as to your configuration. I get it. Where is the second floor computer, and how is it physically connected to your router or your cable modem, or is it also wireless?
Yeah, that's also a wireless connection too, and that's also wireless.
Okay, and it's going through the D-Link, and it's secured?
Yeah, that's affirmative. That one is secured, and that's the one we do banking on.
Okay, whatever you did to the second floor computer, do it to the third floor computer, and you should be okay.
Comment.
Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hey guys, K2DSL checking in late. Typically, a router is secured or non-secured. So if you have WPA or WEP on it, then you've got secured, and you have to be secured on the remote desktop that's using the wireless. So if you're connected on a computer number one or your second floor computer, you're able to connect to the wireless and it's secured in that it's not showing that it's an unsecured network, then your router's already configured to be secured. If your third floor computer or first floor computer, I kind of came in late, the one that you're saying is showing that it's connecting to an unsecured network, then it cannot be connecting to your router. Maybe it's finding another router. It would connect to your router and require you to enter in the secure password.
Hey, I have a question. What is the now, well, you may not want to say it on the air, but did you change the name of the default name of your new D-Link router?
I don't believe so. Not for the second or the third computers.
No. No. All right. First things first. Get the third floor computer configured so that it shows a secure network on your just like the second floor does. Do that. Then, once that works, you might want to look at the idea of You might want to look at the idea of making sure that your SSID isn't broadcast, that your upstairs second and third floor client workstations know that the SSID they're looking for isn't going to be broadcast, things like that. That's what I do. And I definitely changed the default name of the router. But as long as you did you administer a password into that D-Link at some point? You know, that I don't mean an access password. I mean like a secure password that it exchanges, like as part of WPA TKIP.
Well, it's some time back, and I don't recall whether or not we did put one in there at the time. It was about a year ago.
Okay. Simple thing. Make the third floor look like the second floor, and you're good.
Okay, we got that. Taking notes here, so that sounds good, Gordon. If you want to go on to the next person, K2BAR, KC2OCC.
Comment.
Good, Bennett.
Yeah, kind of a neophyte, but I have wireless throughout the house here. But, Joe, if you have an intermittent connection with the third floor, it's probably signal strength. You know, wireless is supposedly good for, you know, like 300 feet. But when you go through walls, sometimes it's good for maybe 15 feet. So if you have it in your main floor and you're saying third floor, is you get it sometimes, sometimes you don't, I'd say you may need a repeater or something to rebroadcast. And the other point is if it's connecting sometimes and not others, I don't quite get that, especially if you have some kind of security enabled like WEP. And if you don't know the password, you can't make it up for that third floor computer. So I'm not quite sure if you ever had it working with your network, if your network's secure, and you somehow you're getting on the network, I mean on the internet, but not through your router, as Dave said before. Those are the two comments. But you may be limited range for that third floor for wireless. You get it sometimes and sometimes not. Back to net. KO2, okay.
Okay, Bennett, thank you for that comment. And one of the things we did is just move the computer away from the file cabinet. So I think that could also be blocking some of the signal next to a metal file cabinet we put up here.
Okay, well, you should be able to one way or another what the signal strength is, either by mousing over the icon for your wireless down in the bottom right corner of your screen, or going to wireless networks and looking at the signal strength of the network you're connected to when you look at view networks or something. Anyway, you should be able to get a signal strength reading somewhere. Back to you, Gordon. KO2, okay.
Okay. very good. I'm munching my dinner here. It's a good thing. Came home about 10 minutes before the net from Jerry's hockey game. All right. Oh, let's see. So, I think that's the bottom line. I don't think upstairs is configured for the same network. That's what I think. Anyway, is anybody else out there who would like to make a comment on this one? Please call K2BAR.
Dennis Tuquet.
Go ahead, Jim.
One of the questions is, are all of the PCs that you're connecting, either XP or Vista, are any of them 2000 by any chance?
None of them are 2000. They're all Windows XP, and they are all or Vista.
Yeah, good. Okay, with XP or Vista, you can use WPA. That was one of the traps that I got into trying to help Tony a few months ago. He had a 2000 machine. We were trying to use WPA. It don't work. They don't provide drivers. It doesn't. Unless there's something that's come along since then, it doesn't work. And I assume what you have on the third floor is what, a client card running the PC? Or am I just confused about what you've done? And they're all working off the host, which is down by your modem.
Yeah, that's correct, Jim. I have them all going down on the wireless down into the host, and I think that I was fooling around here. I have a program, Network Magic, on here, and there was a page that I just got into for security on this system, which I enabled. So I am able to connect now, and I'm trying to run through and see if it's showing a secured network. Over.
Yeah, if your host is secured and a particular computer is not showing secured, it means you're not connected to your host. You're connected to one of your neighbors, probably. You have to go through your order of connection and make sure that your host is first. And then you have to go through and enter, as Gordon says, the magic password and all that to make the security work.
Okay, I understand that now. All right, we're going to have to spend some time with this and go through this and just make sure that everything is secured here. Okay, that answers that question. Back to K2BAR from KC2OCC.
Or we could just have a kid night at your house and do it.
Yeah, bring a paintbrush.
Is that the mode of the day that we're painting your shack slowly but surely?
We just completed the painting today, and so it took us 2 days, and we painted the whole attic, which is a 16 by 17 foot room, so it took quite a bit of paint.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, I know the drill. I have not painted this room since we occupied it just about 4 years ago. So it's going to be a little dicey. Oh yes, Devils win in overtime, by the way. Amen. That's a good thing to beat the Bruins, the second best team in the league. Anyway. Alrighty, moving right along. That's good, Joe. By the way, it's very interesting. For those of us who were in Packet like 20 years ago or more, configuring these things is has a lot of similarities to Packet Radio circa 1980, 1985, let's say. It's kind of interesting. As I said, 20 years ago, make that like a quarter century ago. Including the term SSID, amazingly enough. One thing I would suggest, though, is don't broadcast your neighbor's SSID, or don't broadcast your SSID. Make it so that they can't see, you know, your network being advertised. You also, again, might want to change the administrative password to your router as well. It's just another thought. But I think before you do anything, just get that computer working. KC2OCC, any more? W2TTT, K2BAR.
Okay, the last comment is that the signal strength is excellent. It's very high signal strength, so that eliminated that problem, and we can continue on another time. All right, thank you for all your comments and all your help. Back to K2BAR, KC2OCC.
Excellent. Okay, well, thank you very much. That was a good question. And once we got your configuration squared away as to what it is you were doing, it was pretty straightforward. And I think it's very actionable for you. And anybody else? Alrighty. KF2ID, Mr. Ben, you had a question from K2BAR.
I had a question. One of them is informational. I have another question besides that. I believe somebody said in one of the nets that Rachel had, I don't remember her call, had compiled a number, had compiled a list of sites for software-defined receivers. I thought they said it was in the bulletin. I checked the bulletin January, February. I can't find it. I also went to the Barra website. I can't find it. So I thought it was said that it was either put in the bulletin or the website or both. I'm not sure. So if anybody, first of all, can illuminate me if that is true, and if so, where is it and why aren't I finding it? So I'll put that question out first. That's a simple, easy one. KF2ID with K2BAR.
Okay, I thought it was in last month's bulletin. In fact, I'm almost certain it was. The current bulletin is up. I'm not exactly sure where I'll find the past bulletins. But Tony, can you, or David, better yet, Tony, whatever. Tony, K2AMI, where do we find last month's bulletin?
If you didn't connect it, then you are in trouble. I can send last month's bulletin to somebody on request. I go back to the files and send you a copy of the bulletin. If you don't have it, I will send you a copy of last month's bulletin. Let me verify first that the information that you want is there, though. And again, you're looking for the links for the software-defined radio. I'm not too sure it was last month or the month before, so I'll have to find out which bulletin it was in first.
I would like it as well. And maybe we should add that to the links, page that's on the that's on the Barra website. You know, SDR. You know, like call it the KC2SGF SDR info page or something.
Okay, we'd have to pull the link off the bulletin and put them in a separate compartment on the page. And again, David's the man who can do that. Make turn it over to him for a second. K2DSL. Do you comprehend what you're looking for?
Yeah, I can create a little section on the links. I'm downloading the January bulletin. If you look at the link for the February bulletin, you change 0209.pdf to 01. 0109.pdf. So just open and mouse over it, you'll get the link. On the first page of Phil's bulletin, on the left side where it shows inside this issue, the very last item says useful SDR links, which is on page 7 of the PDF from January. And if I go to page 7, it's got an entire page full of SDR links. So the whole page 7 of the January bulletin is SDR links. And I can just copy-paste all those links from the bulletin and throw it out on there. It takes me about 2 minutes.
Okay, let me know when it's online, and let us all know when it's online, and we'll just do it that way. That way, Tony doesn't need to email it to people. We can just go up and get it.
New bulletin page that we're going to put on.
Tony, I think you doubled with Gordon, K2DSL.
Go ahead, Gordon.
No, yeah, I think your question was whether or not you're going to put up a new page. I think for the short term, just taking that and making it a links page, like Dave and I were just talking about, I think would probably be the easiest. But it begs a bigger question as to whether or not we want to have, you know, a past bulletin tab as well. That might be something to consider. Like where it says view the February bulletin, click here, and then underneath, you know, just have a historical list of bulletins going back as far as you want to have them. I think guys would find those useful at times. Anyway, just a thought. K2DSL, no. K2AY, K2BAR, I'm in good shape.
Well, David will make a decision on that, but I think putting it as a link would be the simplest thing to do today for the, we're looking for the Fine Radio. A separate link to the historical bulletin pages can be arranged too, I'm sure. And this is the first time we've had a request for that, so I don't know if it's a high demand item. It does have some historical value for people who would like to do that. And I think it can be taken, if I may pause a moment, get it back to K2DSL and pull out the bulletin page, something like that. David, of course, you'd have to identify so they can decode the numbers. What do you think, Dave?
K2AR, K2DSL. Yeah, it's pretty simple though. The naming standards, if you just mouse over it and it shows the two-digit month and the two-digit year. So I think it's bulletin 0209.pdf right now. You can just reference bulletin 0109.pdf or bulletin 1208.pdf. I'm putting all the SDR links out now, so they'll be out there in about 5 minutes, and I can look and see if we create another subpage for all the old bulletins, K2BAR.
Okay, take care of it then. Good. Back to you, Gordon.
Okie doke. Well, I am staring at the January bulletins at this point. Yep. Well, I've noted that when I wanted to find out something about clubs and things like that, it was, useful to go through all bulletins. In fact, somebody from a radio club in Florida was kind enough to send me a CD because they were giving out a CD of stealth antenna files like a leisure village kind of environment, except it was bigger, if you can believe it, in Florida. I forget which one was. But the village had a radio club. Had no station, but had a radio club. It had like, I don't know, 70, 80 members. It was kind of impressive. But all these hams on HF were active, and nobody saw anything. It was kind of amusing. So they compiled a disc of all their designs and stuff and what they did and photos and everything else, I think. And the irony is that the club met, in a meeting room at a facility that the place set up, and everybody was openly scamming the development's rules. It was amazing. But if you couldn't see it, it didn't count. It was like, oh wow. Anyway, it was kind of amusing. Anyway, maybe K2ZO now will tell us as to what his plan is as far as which receiver he's going to get. I want to go to that, and I want to go to Ben's next question, because I think that had two. K2ZO, can you tell us what the receiver is that you're going to get?
K2BAR, this is K2ZO. I don't know the model number of it because I did read about it, and I kind of lost my notes up there. But I did get on the website, and I found out that they have suspended all ordering until February 16th. So when I saw that, I kind of lost interest in pursuing getting the model number. The reason is there's a note there that a number of the model numbers will change now because of some upgrades. So I got on the... I'll send you that link, too. I think it may have been also in the ones that Rachel had collected there. But that's the Soft Watt Rock radio link. And he's not taking any orders. So I was about to look around and figure out the one I wanted. I know it because I saw the description, but I can't give you the model number. So that's it from here. Back to you, K2ZO.
very good. Thanks a lot, Jim. Yeah, that's useful. All righty. Well, that's pretty cool. So I guess our next thing is to go back to Ben and see if Ben has any further questions. I think he mentioned he had multiple questions. KF2ID from K2BAR.
Okay, well, thank you for your help on my first question. My second question was this. I received a couple of pictures by email that were taken by a camera on a telephone. You know, one of these telephone cameras. Late at night, my mind just slips me. Handheld telephones, cameras, okay? Can't think of the word. In any case, I got these as part of an email. It's within the body of the email. Now, I wanted to improve on that picture. The picture was good, but a little dark, and I had the Picasso photo program, which has the ability to lighten up the photos and do other things, which I've used in the past and found it quite helpful. Incidentally, the Picasso is a free program given out by Google, and if you're not looking for something like Photoshop or something really big, for a very, very handy program for and really easy to use because it lists all your photo files by date. And so everything's in order automatically. A very nice little program. And of course the price is right. It won't open the pictures because the file extension is raw, is not part what they normally handle. And I don't remember the file extension. I was trying to recreate it. Let me go back a minute. I was trying to find it again this evening, but I couldn't remember how I got to the file extension. Anyways, it simply doesn't show the big black spot, a big black screen where the photo should be. So I assume this would be true of all these handheld photos which are taken by these cameras which are part of the handheld telephones. So anybody ever handle that? Do they get any ideas about that? KF2ID.
Ben, we need to know the extension that the camera pictures are in. I think that's the key. Can you open up with Photoshop, by the way?
I don't have Photoshop. I have the Picasa program. I was trying to get that extension again tonight. That's so I can tell you what I got it last time, but I don't remember how I did it. I have to get into the email. In other words, you have to find the photo extension of a particular. You have to find the file extension of a particular email, and I don't remember how I did it. I did it last time. Was able to transfer it to Picasa, and I just don't remember how I did it. So somebody would tell me how to find the file extension. I'll do it right now. I got it open right now. And even if I have the file extension, it's not one that the Picasa will handle, obviously. So I just can't change the file extension because the file extension indicates how the photo was put together. I don't know if that would do it. KF2ID with K2BAR.
Comment.
Good, David.
Ben, if you can view the file in your computer, either in Outlook or wherever mail program you've got, or by saving the file to your desktop and clicking on it and opening it, there's something on your computer at least that can view the file. And depending on what program is opening it to view it, a lot of those programs, including programs like Microsoft Paint, will allow you to also save it as a JPEG. And I'm sure that Picasso can open up a JPEG. So once you find where the file is, then we can look and try to get it converted. Or the worst case is just mail it to me and I'll send it back to you. I'm sure I can open it up in some program I've got on my desktop. So if you want to do that, you can just send it to me, which is k2dsl@arrl.net.
What was that again? KC2MSL, is that right?
No, just Kilo 2 Delta Sierra Lima, K2DSL.
K2DSL. Okay, maybe I'll do that. You can send it back to me in JPEG, you say? If I try to open it's in Outlook. The file is a letter in Outlook. And I'm not quite sure how to get at it. I guess the only way to get at it is to open my computer and look through Outlook program or something like that. Can't get it directly from Outlook, I don't think. Let's see, how does it run now? I don't think you can get it directly from Outlook. KF2AD2KFDAR.
That's okay, Ben. If all you do is you have the email in Outlook, just click on it to select it and click forward and send it to my call sign at arrl.net, and then I'll handle it all from there. And I'll send it back to you as a JPEG file. That's probably the easiest thing to do. And then, depending on what it is, I can tell you what you might be able to do or recommend a free program to download that'll open them and convert them. Back to you, Gordon.
Okay, I'll try that, but I'd still love to know how to get this
Alrighty. So, Ben, do you have any further questions?
No further questions, really. I ran the 440 net tonight, and somebody checked in. A little discouraging. I wish people would come and say, hello, Ben, and that's all. Just so I could know if somebody's hearing me. Stay up to ID. Oh, yeah, I do have one other comment. I'm proud to say I finally made a list of contests in the latest bulletin. On the VHF, UHF, it was the first time I ever got listed as a contest entry. Only six contacts, but I made it, you know. It's a good start. AF2ID.
Congratulations. I was thinking about the fact that I hadn't participated in the January contest in several years because of some, conflicts that they've just not been able to resolve, prior commitments basically that are rigid in their date setting too. And so last year it all worked out that I could operate the contest, never sent in my log. What do you do? Anyway. Alrighty. I'm really bad, so congratulations to you, Ben. Alrighty. Before we go on, are there any other check-ins for the net? Please call K2BAR with your question, your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above. Alrighty. K2 Zulu Oscar, you have a comment, I believe. K2BAR.
Well, I made the comment, says K2ZO, with K2BAR. I did make the comment, and that was the comment about the fact that they have postponed ordering until the 16th of February because some of these kits have all been redesigned. And that was the comment that I wanted to put to you. When I went on the website today, I wanted to get that model number. And then I saw the notice, and I said, the heck with it. I'll wait. So that's what the comment was. Back to that, K2ZO.
Okay, very good. All right, well, if it's any comfort, you'll be able to start ordering on my birthday. I'm good with that. I'd like to know what it is they have for sale, though. I'm a little anxious, but to your recollection, they did have, at least at the time, a product that was a general coverage receiver that, you know, you wouldn't have to sit there and swap modules or anything for, you know, in order to cover the whole HF spectrum.
Thank you, Little Charlie.
The question that I had was that there was a front-end filter for that offered, and it would read the input and decode it and switch in the bandpass filters for the receiver, and that's the one I wanted to build.
Okay, to Zulu Charlie. Yeah, I got you, Dave. Yeah, no problem. That's exactly the one I'm interested in, too, although I have a rather bizarre interest as to what I want to do with it, but that's all another matter. I'll tell you about it once we figure out what they're offering. and offline. Definitely offline. Anyway, K2 Zulu Charlie, get it, Dave. K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is K2 Zulu Charlie. I'm on their web page right now on the Yahoo group page, and there's a letter there with about kit availability from Tony Parks, and it's dated January 26th, which I believe is 3 days ago. And he says all the kits are available, all the ones, the version 9 Lite plus USB Extol kit, which is the one that I believe Jim is describing. And that's got the USB switched bandpass filters in the front end. And it'll cover any band from 160 to 10 meters or 80 meters to 6 meters. You can make your choice as you're building it. And that goes for $56. And then there's the Rockbound kits, which are $10. And that's just for 160, 80, or 40, depending which one you want. And that's a Rockbound kit. You can't change anything. And that's about it. That's the kits, but it looks like they're available now. So I just emailed that letter to Jim, and I'll send one to you also, Gordon, if you wish.
More importantly, can you just point us to the Yahoo group name?
The Yahoo group name is Soft Rock 40.
I can handle that. Okay, very good. Yeah, if you would send me that letter, that'd be good. Thank you.
Okay, is that your call at ARRL.net?
Or ATT.net, either or.
Okay, will do.
Much obliged. All right. And Soft Rock 40, and I got... Oh, there it is. Interesting. I got KGKSDR ahead of it for some reason. That's bizarre. And I guess it had a more prominent, no, it's not more public. I don't know. Anyway, that's very good. Anyway, in so many words, I'm looking for a software-defined, what do you call it, spectrum sniffer. That's basically what I want to use the receiver for. So that's my objective. So the first product you defined, I think, would be more of my my interest. What's that product called again, Dave?
That's the receiver kit, version 9.0, Lite, L-I-T-E, plus USB Extol. That's the letter X. T-A-L-L receiver kit. And it used to come with individual bandpass filters, but now it's no longer available that way. It's available only with the electronically switched HF bandpass filters. And they're switched via the USB port.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. I see it. I'm actually reading the version 9.0 Lite plus USB crystal kit now available. All right, I got it. $44 plus. Oh, I'm misreading. Let's see. You said 54. But anyway, neither here nor there. I'm not terribly worried about it. That looks like a really humdinger.
So that's the one I'm building at Kitnight. In fact, I just finished the receiver, and now I'm working on the bandpass filter kit, which I'll be working on next Kitnight.
Okay, but in this case, the bandpass filter is the other piece. That's very sweet. So the whole thing is tunable, so that it's literally a software-defined receiver from 1.8 to 30 megs.
Yeah, affirmative, or... 80 meters to 6 meters.
Yeah, actually, that's pretty cool. Actually, I like to have mine go below 1.8. I'd like to go lower yet, but that's another matter. Alrighty. Well, thank you. That's super. That is absolutely super. Alright, I think we had one more comment for the net, and it was a contingent comment. W2JEK. Are you going to exercise your right of speech? This is the question. Are you going to prove me wrong? This is the real question. Anyway. W2JEK, W2, probably K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR, W2JEK. Yeah, well, this is a comment on something that I did here in the shack. I have a thing here called a unique wire tuner. It consists of a roller coil and a capacitor. And the way it came, you put your in, your output of your transmitter into the through the capacitor, and then after it went through the capacitor, there was a coil to ground, which is the roller coil, and then the top of that capacitor was also connected to the antenna. So it acted like a backwards L network. Now, normally the L networks that you see in all the books, you go through the coil first, and then the capacitor goes to ground. And I can configure this either way. But because I wanted to be able to put the coil, have the coil in series all the time, I configured it so that it would act on 80 meters like it was a conventional L network rather than the so-called backwards L network where the coil goes to ground. But I happen to notice that my Oak Hills radio, the Oak Hills OHR 500, seemed rather noisy and could hardly hear anything with it. I start thinking, and I compare with my Yaesu, and, you know, I start hearing signals all over the place on the Yaesu. I'm not hearing anything on the Oak Hills. So, let me drop it. So, at any rate, what I did is I put it back to the coil, went to ground, and I fed it through the capacitor. And it acted as that way as a high-pass filter. And I think I'm getting a lot of hash from all these broadcast stations down in the Meadowlands. That makes a big difference. I was on last night and tonight and making contacts with the thing, and I'm hearing stations again. So if somebody has a similar problem, just put the word out. Maybe an antenna tuner of the right configuration would help. That back to that W2JK.
Well, so you've got it in the traditional L network configuration, or do you have it in the reverse configuration? At the end of the day, I'm not sure which one you thought was better. The reverse configuration strikes me as being useful, especially if you have a particularly long wire where you could get a lot of induced current, let's say from lightning and other, you know, EMP, because it would then just go to ground and be isolated through the capacitor, at least at some level. You ended up with it as a conventional L network, is that right?
No, it's the backwards L network. The coil goes to ground, and you go through the capacitor, in other words, your transmitter goes through the capacitor and then out to the antenna, but the coil is connected between the capacitor and the antenna. If you like a regular T network, except the use in all the books, except that the right-hand capacitor isn't there, although there are some fixed capacitors in this unit that I can use under certain conditions, and I'm using this with 110 feet of wire, so you're right about the noise problem that way, too. Back to that.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, but you essentially have a DC ground to your... for your antenna through that coil, and I think that's marvelous. That's a really, also probably a little safer. So I'm definitely game. Anybody else have any comments or questions for Don about this? It's a good idea. K2BAR.
Yes, I do. K2ZO.
Go right ahead, sir.
What I've found in fooling with the antenna tuners, and I've done a lot of it, is that the antenna tuners in a T-match, which, of course, what Don is describing, he has half of, where you have the capacitor in series with the signal, and then the inductor to ground, of course, they become high-pass filters. And if you reverse that configuration, like the AEA antenna tuner, which used two inductors and a capacitor to ground, what you find is that that configuration, although it works very well, it reduces harmonics, it acts as a low-pass filter.
And just by switching antenna tuners, you can avoid the broadcast beats and thumps and bumps that you